following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazora if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier Daf. Today's Daf is Beseches Zvachim, Daf Nun Dalet, and we're holding on the third line, Meitveis. Yesterday we learned that there was no Yesod along the two edges of the Dorim and Marav side, such that at the corner, in that corner, there was no Yesod at all, even though on the other two sides, the Yesod extended outwards, yet from the opposite sides, on the northern side, and on the eastern side, on those, that one side, there was no Yesod. The problem is, mate, Ola Ta'of, Ketzad Aita Na'aseit. The Ola Ta'of was done as followed. You would do the Malika, Molekat Rosha, Mimul Orpa Umavdil. Even though in the Chatat, you have to be careful not to completely separate the Simonim, so that the two Simonim we'll see by the Chatas, it says specifically, Lo Yavdil. By the Ola, you were Mavdil. You cut through both the Kona and the Veshet. And then you would be mimatze. You would squeeze out the dam on the kira mizbeach above. Now, it says over there that as long as it was above the chuta sikra, which meant that even if you were standing on the sovev, you could bend down, because you had to still remember another amma, between the chuta sikra, which was 5 amot up from the ground, and the sovev, which was 6 amot up from the ground, because the binyan of the sovev was itself 5 amot above the yesod, so it was a total of 6 amot. And that would mean that if you were mematzah the dam on the edge of the yesod, then basically, since you're supposed to do the malika in the same place as you're doing the rest of the aveda, it would mean that everything that you're doing is not going anywhere, because it's over the ground of the airspace of Yehuda. So you're putting blood on the Mizbeach that is over the air. It's not on the Mizbeach, it's just rolling down the side of the Mizbeach. And then you've got a problem, because Iyamrit lo hayalo yesod ba'avir ba'almu dekavi. You're just doing things in midair. That's how Rashi understands it. Now the truth is, there's another girsa in the Gemara. And the other girsa, and this ought, Lechora ought to be the girsa, because it definitely says so in a Mishnah later on, that you have to be Shefech Shiraim there in the same place. And that is an obvious question. I have to be Shefech Shiraim if there's no Yesod. Rashi apparently didn't have that girsa, or the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rabbeinu Tam explains the problem over here is on the Malika itself. Because if what you're doing is, you need to do Malika al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, we'll see when it comes, as opposed to Shechita, Shechita can be done anywhere. But the Malika has to be done on top of the Mizbeach. The problem is that if you're standing over here on the Sovev in that section, and there's no Blita of Yesod for an extra Amma, then that means you're standing, and the problem is, because that's the territory of Yehuda, then you're standing in the airspace of Yehuda. So how can you be doing a Malika in the airspace of Yehuda, which is not Roi for a Mizbeah? You see, Bishlema, like this, you could say, if I'm anywhere else, so even if I would be over the air, that could still be called Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, because remember, even the floor is Roi L'Haktar, if you're Magdish, the floor for Haktar. But if you're standing over the airspace of Yehuda, by definition, it's not Roi L'Haktar. So that, under no circumstances, could be a Mizbeah. Under Rabbeinu Tam, the answer of the Gemara is very straightforward. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, it may be that even though the territory belongs to Yehuda, they may have made an agreement as to flyover rights, so that Yehuda agreed that the airspace of that section of that Amma belongs to Binyamin, in which case it would be in the airspace of Binyamin. Now that doesn't answer exactly, because what's there on the ground isn't Roi L'Mizbeach. However, since you could have an extension over there in the air, which would be kosher for Haktorah, because they allowed the airspace to be binyan. So therefore, there would be no problem of its being Ba'avir. According to Rashi, remarkably, the answer of the Gemara is that since there's, it's very lomdash answer, that since the airspace belongs to Yehuda, so when you say you need a Yesod, What's the din of Yesod? You don't really need yisod over here, right? Because remember, according to Rashi, we're not asking from shiori adam ha'yashar fechli yisod. So you don't need something to have a din of yisod. You just need to have a mizbeach there. So how do you get a mizbeach there? You add a little shelf that sticks out directly over the area of the mitzvah hadam in what is now the airspace of Binyamin, and therefore it's not in midair, it's on the mizbeach, because you have a piece of mizbeach sticking out. So you're saying, aye, but that's not a yesod. A yesod, by definition, has to be miyusad. It has to be right there on the ground. But that's the whole point. It couldn't be yesod, because that's not airspace. That belongs to Yehuda. But the little piece that was the blita that he calls it was sticking out, just to be mekabel the dam, that's mizbeach, but not yisod. Both for Malika and Mitzvah. I mean, the main problem of the Rashi would be Mitzvah, even though he mentions Mitzvah. All right, fascinating, fascinating. Now, the question is, what precisely did we mean by saying there is no yisod? I mean, remember, we're used to talking on two different levels. We talk on the mechanical level, and we also talk on the conceptual level. I mean, there's two ways of understanding the words. There was no yisod. There was no yisod could mean mechanically, physically. There was no yisod. You looked at him as, yeah, the yisod was missing. Of course, it's been the way we've been explaining it all along. But the other way of looking at it is, there was no din of yisod. So you would need to have very sensitive eyes to see that what looked like the yisod, what smelled like the yisod, and what felt like the yisod wasn't the yisod. It was just a building that matched the yisod on the other side. Of course, we wouldn't make the mizbeach physically look strange. It was a perfect square on the bottom, 32 by 32, except part of it was non-functional. So that, indeed, is a machlokas. That's the Gemara. When we say, lo hava lo yisod, does that mean literally, lo hava lo yisod, there was no physical yisod there? Or does it mean there was no conceptual yisod? So this is a machlokas. Rav amar bebinyan. Rav says there literally was no physical yisod. Levi says, no, it was a functional yisod, meaning there could be no dam in that location. The way in which they understand the pasuk is very significant, therefore, in the way they understand the meaning of the halacha, because there are two ways of reading the pasuk that we have, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrav, which we said, the Chofef Alav Kol Hayom, the Bein Ketefav Shachin. So when we say the Bein Ketefav Shachin, there's two ways of understanding that. Rav always understood the targum of that pasuk of Be'achsante Yitbnei Mad Becha. In his portion, the Mizbeach will be built. Whereas a Levi mitargum, which would mean that not in his portion, there could be no physical Mizbeach. So that which was not in the Chelko Shel Toreth, but which was in Chelko Shel Binyamin, did not have a Mad Becha. No Mizbeach. Levi was metargin that pasuk be'achsanate in his nachala yidbanei magdisha a mokom mekudesh ledamim, that the only place that had the din of kedusha in terms of being able to accept the dam of the korbanot was in his chelek. But that doesn't mean there wasn't a physical madbecha, there wasn't a physical mizbeach in the chelek of Yehuda also, but not for damim. That's the difference. So there was, according to Levi, the Mizbeach had a din Mizbeach, but the Yesod, which is the Etzah meaning of Adoma for bringing back the Dam to the earth, that was not Shayach to be within that building. There's two different issues, the building, and then there's the Mekudash of the building. Let's see if we can bring a Raya to one of those halachas. Toshma. Ha-Yesod, so the Yesod, according to this Braita, continued now, actually it's a Mishnah here, according to this Mishnah, the Yesod was all along the northern side, all along the western side, and also took up one Amma of the southern side, Ochel B'Dorom Amma Achat, and Ochel B'Mizrach Amma Achat. Okay, so that certainly implies that it was present, ochel, in the sense of gobbling up the land, the use of the land, we call ochel. No, says Levi, that's what it means. It means ochel bedamim, means it could eat blood in those two amot, not that it ate up the earth over which it was built. It ate up the earth over which it was built along the whole place. That was not the point. Here we're talking about how does the electrical part of it work, the activated part of it work. Tashma. Okay, so we bring another raya. Hamizbeach haya shoshim ishtayim, hashoshim ishtayim. How, according to Rav, how do you get 32 by 32? It isn't 32 by 32, it's 31. Because you're missing that piece. Well, now wait a minute. If you measure it from the right side, you know, it comes out to be 32 by 32. Do you measure it along the northern side and the western side? So it's 32 by 32. Because it's Echobodor Mahamatu, remember. All right, so maybe that means according to Rav, Achamayaskinan, Minatzad. Tashma, but this is really weird because we're going to see later on where we're measuring the length of the kevesh, which was the ramp with which you went up. Put that in your little notebook there. The kevesh was the ramp at which you go up to the mizbeach. So we're reading about the land use of the kevesh. The kevesh was actually as long as the mizbeach. It's 32 amot. But it didn't use up 32 amot of the ground. Why? Because when it hit the yesod, it fit over the yesod. When it hit the soviv, it fit over the soviv. So it was built like a jigsaw at the edge. So as you rolled it up, so to speak, up to the mizbeach, it fit directly over those two amot. The final two amot were basically over the airspace of the mizbeach. So it was in the air. But on the ground, it was only the first 30 amot. Now, the language that it says there is, Nimtza poreach amal yisrael. See, it was hovering in the air over the Yesod, and then another Amma over the Sove. Right? So it went over those two sections and ended at the top of the Mizbeach. So do you understand what we're saying here? We have this strange look on your face. Oh. It looked like a jigsaw on the end. So you put it up the Mizbeach, the Yesod goes into the lower Amma, and then it keeps going up another Amma in, up for the Sovev, up until it hits along the top. It was completely smooth until it got to the top of the Mizbeach. But if you draw a line down to the bottom, from that line that hits the ground after it's over the Yesod, all the way to the edge, it's only 30 Amot. There's another 2 Amot that are taken up by the airspace in the Mizbeach. So it's in the air.
The Kevesh was a separate structure?
Yes. So it's in the air. But according to Rav, it's not in the air. Because according to Rav, it actually was on the ground. Because there was no Yesod. So what do you mean? It was Poreah Ba'avir. How is it Poreah Ba'avir? It's not air. It's along the ground. And there was no Yesod in that section. It was only a jigsaw for that one piece that fit over the Sofeh. Not the part that fit over the Yesod. Because there wasn't any Yesod. This certainly sounds like what Levi is saying. There was a physical Yesod. It just, there wasn't an electrified Yesod. That's all. Answers Rav. The meaning of that is that in terms of the ground space versus the airspace. That doesn't mean literally it was in the air, because it wasn't in the air. But that area of 32 by 32 was designated as Mizbeach space in terms of ground use. And the other 30 was designated as Kevesh space. So vis-a-vis the ground use, this was in the airspace. That's all that it's saying. Borer Bavir doesn't mean physically Borer Bavir. It means that it was in terms of the architecture, Borer Ba'avir, that wasn't included in ground use, because that was Miyuchet, so it was Kineged Ami Yesod. Doesn't mean literally over the Ami Yesod, because there was no Yesod there. But it was using up space of the Mizbeach for that one Amma, and then using up space of the Mizbeach over there, literally, for the next Amma, because it was over the Sovev. So Kineged Ami Yesod, Ve'al Amma Sovev. Okay, let's see if we can bring a raya for the following braita. Now, it's true that this braita was said by Levi himself. So you'd say, well, it's unfair to use Levi's own statements against Rav. But that's not true, because he was just quoting a braita. So here, Tani Levi. Levi himself actually said over a braita that says as follows. Ketzad bonim et hamizbeach. How does one go ahead and build a mizbeach? You take first a mold built out of wood. So you take a malbein, 32 by 32, which is one amma high. And then you go ahead, and mevi chalukei avanim mefulamot, ben gedolot, ben ketanot. You bring these smooth gravel stones from under the water that are still damp, and therefore can easily be absorbed into a concrete structure. Put them in. And then you pour over it a mixture, which would be called mizbach adama, of seed, which is lime, and lead, kunya, and zephet, and tar, which is a cement mixture. You pour this over all of those stones, and shofech, that malbein now has defined the yesod, 32 by 32, of a mixture over avanim. This is how Rashi learns. It's interesting that the Meiri learns there where we're talking about the binyan in Midos. He sees this as an expression of the Mizbech HaNechoshet of Moshe. So what did they do with the Mizbech HaNechoshet? The Mizbech HaNechoshet was just a frame of Nechoshet. They would carry this frame when they came and set up the Mishkan in a new location. They would set down the frame and then they would pour dirt from the desert into the Mizbech. So it was a Mizbech Adama that was defined by Nechoshet. It was still called Mizbech Adama. Here, they did the same thing. The avanim, he understands to be not pebbles, but to be smooth stones that they were used to build the wall of the Mizbeach. Outside, leaving a hollow inside, which was filled with this mixture, which was keneged, the earth that used to fill Mizbeach HaNechoshet. It's a completely different way of looking at it. In any event, it clearly says over here, we'll get back to it, but this is the question. Clearly says over here, the Malbein was 32 by 32, and therefore, the structure, when we remove the wood from around it, the structure would be 32 by 32, exactly. And that's like Levi, not like Rav. Then you build another Malbein. You place that Malbein, which was only 30 by 30, because, of course, the Yesod took up two Amot, on either side. So instead of 32 by 30, one amot, meaning two Amot, one on either side. So you reduced it by one Amot on either side. So now you've got a 30 by 30 Malbein. Amot. Shoshim Amma, which was five Amot high, because remember that the Sovev came one Amma above the midpoint of the Mizbeach. The midpoint of the Mizbeach was five from the ground. That's where the Chutz HaSikra was. The Malbein that defined the Sovev here was five Amot, but it was five Amot on top of the Yesod. So it really came up an Amma above the Chutz HaSikra, which is why when we were talking in the previous question, or previous sugya, we meant by the Olah Ta'ov, you could theoretically do it over the airspace. I mean, certainly you didn't have to. Normally you would be standing on the Sovev. Sovev is Mizbeach. And you'd have still plenty of room to do the Malika and the Mitzri over there in that corner. Wouldn't have a problem. But since it says that all of the Domin could have been done as long as it's over the Chutz HaSikra, so that means that theoretically you could have stood on the ground. I mean, it's put your hands over the area of the ground, which was above the Chutz HaSikra by bending down off of the Sov, and it would still be kosher because you'd still be above the Chutz HaSikra. That's just to get you placed over here. So now you do the same thing. You may be Chaluki Avonim, Mefulamot, blah, blah, blah. And then you go ahead. And now this is missing a significant piece, which of course is not only the part about the Sid Kunya Vezechet, but the words Vezehu Sovev, which is what it should say. In the first place, Vezehu Yesod. Fine. The next is Vezehu Sovev is really the girsa in the Makar, or they put in if it's going to match the beginning, Vezehu Makom Sovev. So now we've just defined the building of the Sovev. Now, you then go and bring a third mold. Put it on top of the Sovev, but of course this one is again one Amma shorter on either side because the Sovev to walk on was one Amma. So now you build a mold which is now only 28 by 28. This is only three Amot high because we only have to get up to nine because remember the 10 was the Keren and those were only built on the edge. So we couldn't build that as part of the first mold here. So mold number three is 28 by 28 by 3. That too was filled now with these avanim, chalukot, mevulamot, sid, kunya, zefet, and all of the other stuff. And zehu makom hamaracha. Now so far we've gotten in height an amma of yesod, five amot of sovev equals six, three amot of makom hamizbeach equals nine. The tenth amma was yet another malbein. The Choser Mevi Malbein, this is a very small Malbein. One Amma by one Amma by one Amma. You fill it exactly the same way, but this one you put on the edge, not in the middle. And that creates one Keren. And then you take that Malbein and you put it on another edge. And that creates one Keren. You do this to all four sides of the Mizbeach. Now we have a total of 10 Amot in height that have been made out of four Malbeinim, but the fourth one is used four times. Okay? Now it's very clear. But of course, the Yotzei Mitoch HaDvarim is that there was a 32 by 32 flat Yesod base to the Mizbeach. That's what Levi said all along. That's what it says. It says you bring a mold that's 32 by 32. So V'zeo Karen, v'chein l'kol Karen, v'Karen, we make every Karen in the same way. So, according to Rav, what are you going to say? That after you had a whole Mizbeach, so now you go out and you bring along one of those, what do they call them, those saws? There's that electric saw, the one that cuts through the stone. No, come on, a disc they call it. The discs. Do you bring a disc saw to cut off the yesod? Huh? Is that what you think you do? V'chidem of the guy is that you can't. You're not allowed to use a saw on the Mizbeach. Even if you would make the saw out of some new composite material that didn't contain any metals, and therefore wouldn't be a problem of using metal, but you only are allowed to use avanim shleimot. It has to be built out of avanim shleimot tivnet Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. So that's a chiyuv of using non-pogum avanim. There's no way you're going to avoid being pogim, even if you cut it with the most wonderful disc. You're going to hit one of these stones. Uh-oh. So that means that...
Can you bring a shamir in or something? Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the shamir. This is a shita, actually, is that they did have the shamir, actually, the Bayachini, which is a whole discussion among the Rishonim. Remember, we need to explain once already you're raising the issue. The question is, what does avanim shleimot mean? Avanim shleimot doesn't mean literally they have to be whole. Obviously, some of these avanim could be, 40 amas wide, like the ones that are built into the Beis Hamikdash itself. It's still there today. But it means shleimot in the sense of absolutely smooth. From there we learn that it can't even be lachgor bo tziporen. So that mamam is like a shechita knife. It would be totally and utterly smooth. The question is, does the shamir, even though it cuts, does it leave it absolutely smooth that it shouldn't be lachgor bo tziporen? So it does this time is even if you had the shamir, it would still be lachgor bo tziporen. It wouldn't be called smooth. By the way, remember we spoke about the strange occurrence of the actual paths of this worm that cuts through stone in the Negev. That was in the National Geographic. You don't remember we had this conversation? This is a while ago. It was probably about 15 years already. I was living in my other house. So they came out with this article that they, for many, many years, they've always been wondering what were the geological forces that created these straight lines cut through stone that it looked like someone had actually cut through the stones in the Negev. They had pictures of this. They could not figure out what process would cause this. Then they found that there was a particular snail that was eating through the stone in perfectly straight lines. Wow. So somebody wrote in the next issue, you guys just found the shamir, and he quotes them the whole story of the Gemara. But it certainly wasn't smooth. It was just, it was eaten away. Yeah. So what are you going to do now, according to Rob? Must be that Levi is right, there really was a building of 32 by 32. And when it says there was no yesod, it just means they didn't electrify that section that was along the southern part and along the western part, and therefore couldn't be Mekabel Dami. There was none of that buzz, because it was in Shevet Yehuda. So it was in Bechal Peshav Torah. The problem is, I'll leave it around. What in the world do you do? Very simple. The machik me to be tutei v'shakilei. What's the problem? It doesn't say that there was nothing placed in the mold before they poured everything. So maybe you took a little piece of wood that was just one amma wide. You stuck it along the entire 31 amot of the edge instead of the full 32. And 31 amot of the other edge along the southern side, along the western side. And then you poured it, and then you removed the mold together with those pieces. And then you had the entire thing. All right, but anyway, so Rav really doesn't have a problem. What's more than that, says Rav? Not only don't I have a problem, you're going to sit there and say that, that's very far-fetched. Not only is it not far-fetched, but you're going to have to say the same thing. I'll prove it to you. Because how did we just build the Karen? In exactly the same way. You said we took a mold and we poured the whole thing. That would mean that the kronot of the Mizbeach were solid. But they weren't solid. I'll prove to you that they weren't solid. The Elote Malcolm, you're not going to be ready to agree with me that they would put things into the mold before pouring and then remove them in order to leave areas that were still empty. How do you explain, Adi Amar of Kana, the Avanim of the Kronot were actually Chalulot. You could actually pour things into the Kronot that would then run downwards. And it says it's a possible to see. Umol'u ki mizrak ki zaviyota mizbeach. Over there, the Lashon is, there it's referring to the way the Mefarshim explained, it's referring to the wars of Yisrael, and this is the blood of the enemies. So over there it says that it'll be like the wine, and you can pour this into the corners of the Mizbeach, Moyayin. How could you pour anything in their corners if they're solid, a solid stone, the way you just described it? So therefore, you're going to have the same problem. You couldn't have drilled a hole through it, and there's supposed to be places in the actual kronot that you'd be able to pour in, the damim, yayin, and so on. Ella, what are you going to say? The same thing I just said. The market binim mitutei. First you put in like a thin, let's say, a straw-like device, a piece of wood or whatever, and you'll pull it out afterwards. Vishakula. That's exactly what I'm saying. So if you're ready to accept that that's the meaning of the description of the binyan of the kronot, and it's just that the Tana is not interested here in telling you, by the way, of course, you need to leave space for X, Y, and Z. So he didn't say you need to leave space for the area on the Dorim and the Marav. He didn't say that about the kronot either. So it's perfectly okay, according to me. Hokinami, the market meeting me today,
Vishakala. The holes were all the way down, or just the armor?
That's what, no, we'll see later on. This is not referring to the inyanim of the sheeting where it went down to the sheeting. That's on the bottom. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Vayelech David Ushmuel, Vayeshvu Binoyot Birama. Now this is where David was running away, and he was finally desperate. He ran away to Shmuel. And Shmuel sat there learning with him in Ramah, which is where Shmuel lives. But for some reason it says Binoyot Biramah. Noyot? The name of the city was Ramah. Noyot is a completely different location. It has nothing to do with Ramah. So what exactly is that supposed to be? Ma inyan Noyot Eitzel Ramah. Must mean that they were in the city of Shmuel, which was always called Ramah, and they were being Osek in Noyot. That's the pshat. What would Noyot mean? Noyo Shel Olam is what it would mean. And that's what they were being Osek in. So that means that it was, yeah, it's also a plain word, bin noyot would mean binyan. But noyot is the beauty, or nave kachecha, the home that you are building for yourself, the beautiful home. But that means that they were being Isaac in the Beit HaMikdash. Amre, now they said to each other, and remember that they had very little information. They had all the information, ha-ko, b'chtav, miyad, Hashem, alai, yiskil, about the shape of the actual binyan, but where are you supposed to put this? Remember that as yet, the story of the malach that was made in the mid-air, directly above the space of the Mizbeach, over Garn Arvana Yevusi, it hadn't happened yet. This was years in the future. This is David before he became the accepted Melech. So they had no idea where this Beit HaMikdash would be. He felt the responsibility to begin building as soon as he could possibly. He didn't know yet that he wasn't going to be allowed to build. And even afterwards, when he was told he wasn't allowed to build, he still went ahead and he dug out the Asedas of the Beis HaMikdash and so on, as we saw in the other Gemaras. He did whatever he could do. So he was anxious, and he felt that that was part of his whole destiny in life. I want to build this. So he was there being Eisik B'noyo Shalom. So Amr, they said to each other, look, we do know, let's take the facts that we know. We know that the Torah, when it describes what to do when you have a problem in a halacha, you're supposed to go up to the Lishkat HaGazit. The Lashon over there is, V'kamta v'alita el hamakom, get up, go, get, stand up, and go all the way up to the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. That must mean that the Beit HaMikdash, which is where you're going to find the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, is always, from any reference point, the Kamta V'Alita. Now that would mean that we would need to find the highest point in the Nachala of Yehuda and Binyamin, too, because we know that it was on, that was from the Diuk, we knew that the Bezdin has to be in Yehuda, and we know that the Beit Tevav Shachin has to be in Binyamin. So we need to find the highest point in that gvul as it goes between Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay. So that teaches us, because wherever you are, you're going to be going up to the Beit HaMikdash. By the way, it's also true that Eretz Yisrael is gavoa mikol haratzot, that we don't learn from here, but we do learn from the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the gu'ula to come, it says that I will take you and v'haliti, I'll bring you all up, umikol ha-mikomot, from wherever you are,
anywhere on earth. So that means that we look at coming to Eretz Yisrael as an aliyah. Obviously, that doesn't mean necessarily in the same sense that it means over here, obviously. Here it means that they're literally looking for a physical place between Yudim and Yomim, at least, which is an aliyah. So lo havayadi duch teheichi. They didn't know on their own. They don't have any satellite images or anything. So where would that be? So they picked up a Sefer Yehoshua, the local bookstore. They say for Yehoshua. So Shmuel brings out a Sefer Yehoshua, and they analyze the Gvul as it's described between Yehuda and Binyamin. Now remember where that Gvul is. Remember that Yehuda stretches between the Yama Melach and the Mediterranean to the south, and Binyamin starts at the top of the Yama Melach and goes up till Kiryat Yarim, which is the Judean hills. That is a tremendous hill. In other words, you're climbing and climbing. As anybody who drives down to the Yam HaMelech can attest, you can turn your motor off and go the entire way from coast the entire way from Yerushalayim all the way down, right? Great ride for a bike. So when you're going up, which is the way it's said for Yehoshua, it talks about the Gvul. So the first thing we note is that every element of the Gvul between Yehuda and any of the other Shvatim, and that's the Vekamt of Alit that's talking about, to the Mokom of Chok, which is the part of the Atayoducha Achecha. That's Yehuda, who set up, even in Mitzrayim, who set up the Beit Hora'ah. So they find that wherever it talks about the Gvul, anywhere else, it's always Yorad HaGvul, Tar HaGvul, but it's always going downhill. So basically what happens is you keep going uphill from the Yam HaMelech until you get to Kiryat Yarim. It's still all says V'yarat or V'tahar HaGvul. And then it keeps saying, V'ola. And in the other places, the Gvul, it always starts by going down from there, down to the Mediterranean, which is also a great bike ride, as anybody who has stood up in Kiryat Yarim looking over, seeing that you go down. Okay. That, of course, is the Yerida that we go zipping down the hill immediately at Telston. The highway goes straight down from that point on. And again, you have your foot on the brakes the whole time if you don't know how to drive. But that's basically getting, bike ride is fantastic. You have to hold the brakes on the whole way. So from that point, as now it's very obvious that anybody who drives that highway understands. You're going all the way up and then you're going all the way down. So there, they recognize that that must be a simon, but this is the only place where the Gvul is Vitar, and it goes up now, and they figured that looking over that very limited spot, which is between Yerushalayim and Telstone, they found that the highest place was Ein Etim, which is Meneftoach, says Rash. So that's Lifta, basically. From Lifta, which is exactly the point that you would get your last hitchhiking spot, going down, but that's the bottom of the lift, as the bottom where the water actually comes out of the Mayan. They didn't want to build it there. They wanted to build it all the way on the top where they use the place that they wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash to put the big sign at the corner of the house as you're leaving the city. So everybody should, with the Trampiadas, so everybody would see it. Now that, they thought that was the great space for the Beis HaMikdash, because like, there where everybody would be hitching down, and they would be standing next to Beis HaMikdash too. So they first thought that they would build it there above Ein Etim, where that's very high, the Madlin. And then they said, that's not a good idea, because Nichtebe, we should go down Kalil, we should go down a little bit from that point, because if we don't, we're going to be on the head of Binyamin. But it doesn't say in the Pasuk, build it on the Rosh. It says, Bein Kitefav, between his shoulders. Between his shoulders would be where the neck comes out. But there's like a little dip to the neck where the head is, right? Bein Kitefav. So then that means, as it says elsewhere, Ein Lecha Yofa Shebeshor Ela Kebein Kitefav. That's the most beautiful part. We'll go down a little bit so that it is lower Bein Kitefav. Another Lashon points out that there's another issue. We know that the Sanhedrin has to be in the Chelek Yevamim, and the Shechina has to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. So now, if we're going to build it there in Ein Etam, it's going to be a mile away from the Chelek of Yehuda. It's not going to work, because it's got to be closer to the border. That way we could have the Lishkat HaGazit being the place for the Sanhedrin, and then we could have right next to it, and it has to be, as we learn out elsewhere, it has to be next to the Mizbeach also. The Sanhedrin has been next to the Mizbeach. So we have no choice. Can't build it in Ein Etam. So this is a different reason for not building an Ein Etam. And Mamela, they recognize, that's why it says Ben Ketefav. But not that they figured from Ben Ketefav alone. Now the reason this is an alternative shot, the Makar for this would be Chokek be Ben Raglav. He's the Mechokek. Mechokek means this is where Din comes from. That's the Broch of Yehuda. The thing is, if they knew this, then the description that we had earlier, they'd already taken this into consideration. They didn't have to look into the Yorad HaGvul to prove that, well, it couldn't be the Gvul of Yehuda anywhere else, the Kamt of Yalita. It couldn't be the Gvul of Yehuda anywhere else because they were aware of the fact that it needed to be next to the Mokum HaMikta. So, which would anyway leave it to description of the area between Yehuda and Binyamin, which is where it says V'olava, olava. Okay, in any event, this accounted for a sort of gross placement of the Beis HaMikdash, which became a precise placement when the Malach was emed over the location of the Gorn of the Arban HaYevusi. And at that point, as the Rambam says, Mekom HaMizbeach is Mechuvan Biyoter. It's exceedingly exact. It needs to be actually GPS placed in that exact location because that's where the Makam of Mizbeach was meant to be for Adam HaRishon, for the Makam of the Akedah, and so on and so forth. But all of this, they weren't able to identify on their own. Okay, so the Yibayit Ebek Mirdes and Edrin Bechalko de Yehuda, Shechina Bechalko de Binyamin, Vim Medalinan Le Mitpalik Tuva. See, if they put it all the way up, it would be very far apart. Therefore, Mutav, it's better. The Nachtche Be Purta, which go down a bit, and that would fit the meaning of the Pasuk. Now, it was after David was successful in locating the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash that Doeg went bananas. Doeg was Gadol HaDor, and he felt that he had been completely outclassed, and he hadn't even been Isaac in the whole sugya. This wasn't a gear. Here comes this upstart pipsqueak, as far as he's concerned, that's worked out the whole sugya, sitting there together with Shmuel, has made him look like a jerk. So now he felt completely left out of the whole binyan of the Beis HaMikdash and the whole future. And after all, everything is meant to be built on me. And because of that, he became extremely jealous, and that accounted for his destruction of Novi Rakhonim and his trying to prove, to show that David wasn't even a kosher to be a Jew, forget about whether he's kosher to be a king. And so now that became vicious fight that destroyed everything, destroyed Novi Rakhonim, which destroys Shaul, which destroys the connection with Yonatan in the end, because it was Malavim, which ends up destroying Doeg, and which David is punished for terribly later on. It's a horrible story. And it all came because of this. Kirechtiv kikinat beitcha. It's specifically the kina of your bayit that has eaten me up alive, achalatani, and therefore continues the pasuk v'charapot charpecha. Those who are mecharev you, nuflo alai, they all fall on my head. That's because of the fact that they need to be control of kedusha. Anyway, so this now becomes the part of the expression of David HaMelech's love for this Beis HaMikdash, Uftiv, as it comes out very clearly in the pasuk where he's describing Shir HaMa'alot, where it says Zechor Hashem leDavid et kol unvoto. Unvoto is a lotion of inui, not only of another. All the suffering that he went through, that came from what? Asher nishbal Hashem, which he had sworn to God. Nadar lavir Yaakov. What was the neder that he made? I swear I won't come into my own home and sleep in my own bed until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a bite. So there he says, Im avo ba'o beti, im aale al eres yitzuai, im etin shnat le'inai laf apayt numa, adem tza makom la'ashem. I need to at least identify where that makom is to be, and tza. Mishkenot la'avir Yaakov. So in other words, the actual makom HaMikdash, was to him the most important thing in his life. He needed to be motzei that makom. Even though he wouldn't be zeicha to build it, the metzia of it itself already began a definition of horadat hashchina, and that's where he was oisik the entire time, taking care of the Aron HaBris and the makom. His life was involved in the creation of the kedusha of the mikdash. He goes on to say, what is that supposed to mean? How did you find it in Ephrata? Oh, Ephrata is Sefer Yoshua. We found it in your Ephrata. Because Yoshua came from Ephraim. And then we located it in a steyar. What's a steyar? The forest. Why is it a forest? Because wolves live in the forest. And Binyamin is Sefer Yitran. So by analyzing Sefer Yoshua and recognizing the Ben Ketefav Shachin of this Binyamin Ze'ev Yitraf, we put everything together and added up the Makom HaShechina. By becoming aware of it, we already made it happen. Because it's all a function of awareness. Once we caught it, we now have the beginnings of architectural diagram. Here we're talking about where, but where is it? It's true that the architectural diagrams themselves are a chelek of the Horadas HaShechina. That's why we find that Yechezkel gives over all of this information, and he says, he opens it, the Malach says to him, tell B'nai Yisrael these diagrams that they should be ashamed. Okay. So that means that the very diagram itself is a shaming, because it already gives you a sense of the Horadas HaShechina. But he needed to find the actual place, because that's the Chiyuv of Malchus, is to connect it to the earth. How do I connect it? I don't even know where the place is. It's one of the, it's actually, I think it's a sefer called Binyamin Yitraf. It's Isaac in this also.
Maybe you better take a drink before, and it was some dazzling.
Yeah, I thought you were closing the shop. Okay, Dr. Heli
Commissioner.
Does
anybody have a bicycle pump?
Dr.
Heli Commissioner.
There we go. Okay. Zivchei Shavei Tzibur. We're moving on now into further Kachin Kachin. So we've done the Chatot HaNisrafot. We've done the Chatot HaPnimiyot. We've done the Chatot HaChitzaniyot. And we move on now. We talked about the Ola, where we had to say Kodesh Kodeshim because the Torah didn't. And now we move on after the Ola to Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, the only Shlomim that are Kodesh Kodeshim, and they're called Kodesh Kodeshim, and they are the Shnei Kifsei Atzeret that are brought together with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. The only example of Shalmei Tzibur. And then there's all the Ashamot, which is dafka, the one carbon that is not brought, ever, but Tzibur, as we mentioned earlier. The Ashamot, by the way, Elohein Ashamot, what are the Ashamot? This goes all in your notebook to remember, under Ashamot. Asham Gizelot, that is the Asham that is brought for somebody who denied owing money illicitly and swore that he didn't owe that money, and then he admitted that he actually did owe that money, then he has to bring a carbon asham together with the knas and so on. Asham mi'ilot, for somebody who used kochim for chulin. Asham shivcha harufa, somebody who sleeps with a shivcha harufa, that's a machlok, what that is exactly. Whether it's a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bat chori, that marries now, so she's only partially shayachat to kedushin, or whether she is a complete shivcha, but she was miyuedet to an eved ivri, which is a licit arrangement, and therefore has elements in it of eishes ish, but it's not mechayev a person and a serious onesh. It's mechayev him to bring a korban asham, even though he did it on purpose, a korban asham for sleeping with her. An asham nazir, okay, we know what that's about, when the nazir is becoming tar. Asham mitzer, when he's finishing his naziris, I mean. Asham mitzer, when the mitzer is becoming tar. And then, of course, the asham toloi, we discussed earlier, on a suffix of having been over on one of the isurim that would have been mechayev you a chatas, we had a machlokas, maybe even the case of asham me'iles. We had the machlokas before, whether yilmad el yomin atachton. All of the above, the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur and all of the five Ashamot, Shchitaton B'Tzafon, V'Kibul Daman B'Kli Sharet B'Tzafon, and Daman Ta'un, like the Ola, Shtei Matanot, Shehin Arba, and they too are Necholim Lefanim Min HaKelaim. Here, since they are Kodshei Kodashim, they too, like the Korban Chatas, can be eaten only inside of the Azorah itself, to Mel of the B'nai Aharon, lechol ma'achal in any form, and the time of the achila, just like the chatas, is liyom v'layla at chatzot. So the day and the following night, and midrabanan, a gezerah that they can only be eaten up until chatzos, as we learned in the beginning of Masechet Brachot. Meitve. Olata of ketzelaita nasid. Hayam oleket roshami mulor pa'am avdiyo. Umumatzeda ma'al kiram izbe'ah. Vi'amet lo ayala yesod. This whole thing is taking place in midair. I mean, assuming that you did it over the Chutas Sikra and not over the Soviv. So, Bavirat Be'amu de Ka'avid, or according to Rabbi Natam, it's taking place in the airspace of Shevet Yehuda. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak Eimar Kachitnu. Avira, the airspace, were given the rights of the airspace to Binyamin, and only the Karka belonged to Yehuda. So, when you say Lo Havelu Yisod, what does that mean? Rav Amar means literal, Bebinyan. Levi Amar, functional, Bedomim. Rav Mitargem Bach Santeyit B'nei Madbecha, because the Mizbeach itself was only built in Yitzchelek. Levi Mitargem Bach Santeyat B'nei Magdisha, not meaning the Migdash, but rather Makom Mikudash Lidamim. Tashma, Ayesod Ayam Alecha B'nei Kol HaTzafon V'Opnei Kol HaMara. Ochel B'Darom HaMachat, B'Mizrach HaMachat. Now when you say that it's Ochel, it seems to that it only was there. No. Ochel, says Levi, means B'damim. Doesn't mean it was physically Ochel the Karka. The whole thing was Karka. Toshva, Mizbeach HaYash, L'Shim B'Shtayim, B'Shul Shim B'Shtayim. Yeah, that's true according to Rav, if you measure from the edge. So Ochel B'Mayaskinim, and that's sad. Toshva, Nimtza Poreach, Amal Yesod, V'Amal Sovevet. What do you mean? There was no Yesod. It means Poreach, meaning it was in the airspace of Mizbeach, Keneged, where another place was Amal Yesod. And then literally, Al Amal Sovev. Tashmat Atani Levi, Ketzad Bonim Atam Mizbeach, Mevim Al Bein, Shushloshim Ishtayim, Shushloshim Ishtayim, V'Govo Amal, and then Mevi Chalukei Avanim V'Fulamod, Ben Gedolod, Ben Ketanod, and the Mevi Seed, V'Kunya V'Zefet, mixed all thing together, poured over it, V'Shofech, V'Zehu Yesod. Now, Chozer Mevi Mal Ben, smaller, of Shloshim Amal, Shloshim Amal. This one, however, is quite high. Govo Chamesh Amod, do the same thing, Mevi Chalukei Avanim V'Fulamod, and so on, and then you bring Seed, V'Kunya V'Zefet, Yomach V'Shofech, and Zeh Haya Sovev. And then you bring yet another Malbein, V'chozer Umevi Malbein. This one is only 28 by 28. This one is 3 amot high, Mevi Chalukei Avanim, and then Mevi the Seed, the Kunya, and the Zefet. And this 3 is the Makom HaMaracha. And then, when we say the Makom HaMaracha, in general, it's the Makom that's usable for me. Literally, they didn't, of course, put the Makom HaMaracha on that entire top, because that would not exactly leave any room for the Kohanim to manage to get things onto his bear without being burnt up on the way. So there was an additional space, of course, where they could walk around the Makom HaMaracha, as we'll see later. V'chozer mevi malbein, shu amal amal, and mevi chalukei avanim v'fulamot, v'ngdol mevi zevet v'kunim v'mach v'shofer, and this was on the corner, it was okay. Now, what's Rav going to say about this? The guy is, what's he going to say? You're going to bring a disc to cut it? Well, what it means, the machit midi mitute v'shakele. Listen, you guys are also going to have to be murdered to me, says Rav. Because the elote ma'achi, where if Kahana said, avanim shel kiranot chalulot hayu, techtivu uki mizrakes avayot mizbeah. So, how do they do that? They couldn't drill a hole. It says, Avanim Shalem Otam Rachmana. Clearly, the Machan Midi Bitute Vishakulai. So what do you care if I learn that that's what was done in the bottom Albain along the side where there was no Yisoda, the Dorm and the Marab? So Akinami the Machan Midi Bitute, and then afterwards Shakulai. Dorash Rava, my dichtiva yeh David Shabel Vayeshvu bin Nayot Birama. Now what is Nayot have to do with Rama? Elashay Yoshvin Birama, Vushmo Liv, Voskim bin Oyoshalola. So then they said, okay, let's take a look at the pasuk of the Lishkat HaGazit. It says, V'kavta v'alita el ha'bakom, melam v'shubet ha'mingdash gavoha mikol Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael gavoha mikol ha'aratzot. Now, they didn't know, but where exactly, what area would that be? Lo ha'v'yadi duch te'echi, ayte sefer Yoshua, and analyzed the gvulot, and they found that v'kulot tivi, arad, v'alav, v'ta'ar, And by Shevet Bin Yamin, between the Erev Yehuda, specifically is Ve'ala, never once says Ve'yorad. So they said, okay, so Shema Aminah, then they found that the highest place was Ein Eating, which was really Midle. Amre, they've decided that that's not the best place, because Nechte Be Kalil, Kirtibin Ktifav Shechin. Ve'ibayit Ema, they figured the following, not on their own, from Ben Ktefav Shechem, but rather they said, look, Gemiri, the Sanhedrin Bechelko de Yehuda, because it says Mechokik Ben Raglav. Shechina is Bechelko Ben Yamin, as we just said, Ben Ktefav Shechem. If we're going to put it in Ein Item on top, so Imadlina Lei, then it's going to be Mitpalik Tuva. Mutav de Nitztebe Purta, Kirchtivu Ben Ktefav Shechem. Ve'aldavar Zen, that success of bringing now, finding a Mokam for the Beis Hashem, Nitkane doega adomi b'David. And David himself says, you know, it was the kin'ah that was catalyzed by your bayit that has eaten me up alive, has given me the most horrible time of my life. V'chtiv zechor Hashem David et kol unvuto, asher nishba al Hashem, imavo bo beiti, imetet shnat le'inai, le'af apayit enuma, adem tza makom la'Hashem. And that was, where is that makom? Where did I learn it from? Shmanua be'efrata. Be'efrata means I learned it from Sefer Yehoshua, the Katim Ephraim. Be'efrata b'steyar refers to Binyamin. Dichti Binyamin means Ze'ev Yitraf. So you have the whole forest, wolves, lions, all surrounding them. The Makom HaMizbeach. Beautiful, beautiful imagery. We're talking about the rainforest. We're talking about Mashir. Zivchesh, woo! Zifche Shalmei Tzibur, V'yashamot, Elohim Hashamot, Hashem Gizelot, Hashem Milot, Hashem Shivcha Harufa, Hashem Nazir, Hashem Metzora, plus the Hashem Tanui. Shchivatan B'tzafon, V'kibudomen B'klisharei B'tzafon, V'damaton Shtei Matonot Shein Arba, Ne'achalim L'fimen HaKeloyim, L'zichre Kuno L'chom HaKal, L'yom V'alayla, Ad Katzot.
Following is the daf from the previous daf Yomi cycle.
Shavuot Tov, we're holding on daf Nun Dalit. We just got finished discussing the Chelek of Ben Yomi and how it is that there was no Yisod along the Mizrach and Doron sides, except for the first Amma of each one of those sides, which means that on the corner of the Doron Mizrach, there was no Yisod at all. And today the Gemara is bothered by this and wants to ask a number of questions. Meisei, and we're up to the third line on the Dalet from the Aleph. Meisei, Olat Ta'ot Kitzah Haita Na'aseit. Now the Olat Ta'ot, we'll see later on, was actually done on that corner, on the Doron Mizrach corner. And it says over there, Hayam Aleket Rosha Mimul Orpao Matio. Over there, there was no Shkita, of course, there was Malika. And in contrast to the Chata Ta'ot, there was also Havdalah, which means that the Malika affected both Simonim. And you had to cut through both the Kona and the Veshet. And the head essentially, therefore, was severed, which on the Yechatas is an Isser. And then, Mematzei Damal Kiram Mizbeach. At that point, he would squeeze the dam out of the body of the oath onto the sides of the Mizbeach. Now, the problem is that the Amrit Lo Hayala Yisod, Bavir Dalmo de Kavi. If there was no Yisod, so then how does this make sense? Because then the dam, essentially, is not being put onto the Mizbeach, because it's sticking out in the air, and there's nothing underneath it, so it's just going down to the ground. So how in the world, it's not in the Chelek of the Yom at all. It's just in midair. Because remember, yeah, it says you press it up against the Mizbeach. Now, you could tie it, I'm sure it's the first thing that you think of, is that since we're talking about the Eilas Ha'if, and the Eilas Ha'if is done l'mala, so what's the problem? It's done above the Soveh. So it's not in midair. The blood is on the mizbeach, basically. The blood's going to go down to the sode. There's still another arma to get to Chelka Shel Yehuda, so it's not in the avir. The answer to that is that the Chut HaSikra was an arma beneath the sode, because the sode began one arma above the Chut HaSikra, six amas up. So the problem is that since it says the Farish, we'll see that later, that if you want, you can be mamat to the dam of the Eilas Ha'ayf beneath your legs. You stick your hand down and be mamat to along the wall underneath the Sove. That part doesn't make sense, because that Ama is essentially in midair. So how is it in the Chelek of Binyamin at all? It's in the Chelek of Yehuda. So apparently there must have been a Yisod on the Mizrahi Stranis side. Yamit Lahayel on Yisod. So what are you saying then? Babir Ba'amu Gakavit. Well, we put the dam in the middle of the air. Amram Nachum by Yitzchak. Imar, perhaps we can suggest that Kach Yitznu, that they made a tnai between the Shvatim that the Avir belongs to Binyamin, even though the Karka belongs to Yehuda. And therefore, when the dam was put on in the air above that area, it was being put in the airspace of Binyamin. And perhaps there was a little area that would jut out a bit so that the dam at least would be held on the Mizbeach. It didn't go down onto the Karka of Yehuda. That's a possibility. Now, when you say there was no Yisod, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that physically there was no Yisod, or it means there was no active Yisod, that the Yisod couldn't eat the dam? Now, that's in our focus. Rav Amar B'Binyan, Rav says there was no Yisod, period. It was actually, even though we say the Mizbeach was 32 by 32, it's not quite true that in every direction it was 32 by 32. Because if you measure it from the southeast corner, you'd be missing an Amma. You see, in either direction, because there was no Yisod there. So we say 32 by 32, we mean, in other words, the square of the Mizbeach surface is missing that Amma along with the two sides of the square. So yeah, if you measure it along the line of the northern side, or of the western side, each one of those sides was 32, but there was an Amma missing off of the other side.
The Sode itself wasn't counted? What? All around? Is that possible?
I don't understand what you were talking about. The 32 by 32 includes the area of the Sode.
I'm saying, could you just as easily say that the 32 by 32 doesn't
include? No, you cannot.
Okay,
absolutely not. As we'll see. So, in any event, according to Rav, when it said it was 32 by 32 on the bottom, it meant that the place assigned for it, but it was missing actual parts. Where Levi says, no, the Mizbeach was certainly 32 by 32, the Yisod was there, it just didn't work. So that when we say there was no Yisod, we mean there was no din of Yisod. I mean, it looked to the naive observer as if there was a Yisod there, but he just couldn't see. So, but actually that was not a very live Yisod. Which means that you'd have to have two different Targumim. According to Rav, who says that there was literally no Yisod, so he has in his Targum of the Chelek of Binyamin, of the Baboker Yochalad and so on, and Ben Klefav Shachain, see, he has the words Ba'achsante Yitbane Madbecha. In his Chelek, the Mizbeach will be built. Because Lamaisa, there was nothing built outside of his Chelek. Whereas Levi has in his Targum, Ba'achsante Yitbane Madbecha, the place that would be Makudish for Damim will be in his Chelek. We can't say literally, in his Chelek will be built the Mizbeach, because Mizbeach was built physically, even outside of his Chelek, in the Chelek of Yehuda, that one on. Tashma, let's see if we can bring a riot to either of these sheets. It says, I Yisod Hayam Ha'alecha Pnei Kol HaTzafon, well, Pnei Kol HaMa'arav. The Yisod extended along the entire northern and western side. Ochel B'Darom Ha'amachat, it eats up one Amma of the southern side, and the Mizrach Amachat, and one Amma. The other certainly sounds as if
eat in the sense of that it takes up of the ground that it was only there up till that point. That's the way you normally understand the word ochel. No. Ochel means it eats the dung. My ochel, not eat the dung. That's all it's. In other words, the area that was activated to be the Torah that would eat blood was up till that point. There's no riot that there was not no yesod there. That's the way Levi would understand. It's perfectly valid. Tashma, okay, how about this? I'm Mizbeach Yesh Shoshim V'Shtayim HaShoshim V'Shtayim. No, I understand. It's not Shoshim V'Shtayim HaShoshim V'Shtayim. No. Achumayim Skinim in Atzad. I mean, it is. If you measure, it doesn't mean on all four sides, but if you measure along the northern side, or you measure along the western side, so it's 32 by 32. I didn't say it was 32 by 32 by 32 by 32, did I? So, 32 by 32. That's how I have to understand it. Toshma. Nimtza poreach amal yisod amal soveh. We have in the measurements of the kevesh, and the kevesh was 32 amas long, it says. Yet it says that the kevesh and the mizbeach together took up 62 amas of the floor space. Now, last I learned, 32 plus 32 is 64. So therefore, the Gemara explains what that means is that the kevesh, two amas of it were floating. In other words, it wasn't on the floor. One ama was ama above yesod, and one ama was ama above soveh. So that didn't count as additional floor space, which implies that there was a yesod there that was poreach on it. It says al yesod. No, it means keneged ama yesod. That doesn't mean that literally it was poreach al yesod. All it's saying is that that armor was already included in the 32 of them is Be'ah. Lamaisa, the kevesh, was on the ground because there was no yesod on that place. But in the sense that it's covering over that area that was miyukat for the yesod. And then literally it was poreach al amasoveh. We have no riot so far. Yeah, how about this? Toshma. It's Tani Levi. We have a bride that says ketzad bonim et hamizbeach. So how exactly should go around about building a mizbeach? Because the problem is you needed avanim shleimot. Now, avanim shleimot, the point is it has to be totally smooth. If they're totally smooth, then you've got two problems. You can't use metal on the mizbeach. You know that the Los Anipalam Vasa. And you can't use, if you use the shamir, it's still not going to make smooth the shalayakabot tziporin, as Tosis points out later. So what do you do to build a mizbeach? Well, what you do is you, first of all, you construct a mold. So you're maybe in malbein. So first you bring a malbein, which is 32 by 32, and it's one amma high. You make that out of wood. Okay, now, then you bring chalukei avanim fulamot. You then bring small, like pebbles, from the bottom of the ocean, which have never been used, and they're completely smooth. They've been smoothed down simply by constant, you know, water rubbing against them and so on. And you take these stones, the literal mefulamot actually means like sort of slimy, wet. So you take those of any mefulamot, then you don't, and it doesn't really matter what size they are. Because in the end, what we do is we make a sludge. We pour these little stones into the malbein. And then you bring, you see it, kunya and zephet, so that you bring melted lead together with tar seed, and you melt this, pour it over the malbein, so that the stones are held together by this mixture, which hardens them. The shofei. Kunya. Kunya is a glaze. Well, yeah, it is a metal, but that's technically. I mean, it's basically a type of stone, as far as the one is concerned. I mean, it's seed also, it's dirt. It's first concrete. So, that's right. And then you bring another malbein. Now, that was the malbein yesod, okay? So now you have a 32 by 32 square. Now, this sure sounds like that 32 by 32 square. I mean, it's a big problem. According to Raj, it says there was no. It wasn't a 32 by 32 square. Inside. Then you go ahead and you bring now another malbein. Okay, you make a malbein which is 30 by 30. and that's 5 amas high. You put it on top of this one, maybe chalukia. But again, the same thing. And that hardened, so now you've got basically up to the sove. And then your chozer maybe malbe. Now you bring the area above the sove, which is 28 by 28. But each time you're going in 1 am on either side, which takes off 2 amas from the measurements all around. So you're 28 by 28. Which is 3 amos high. Now that is the part above the sovev, and you may be chaluki avarim and the whole business, fill that up, and that becomes now the makom amaracha above the sovev. And then you make the kranot by bringing malbenot, maybe malben, which is an ama la ama. You bring chaluki avarim and kulamot, ben gerot, ben tanot, same thing, maybe zebekli, remakav shov, gazel keren, b'chein the kol keren the keren, you do that on all 4 sides. And now you've got your mizbeach. And the problem is that you've got a yesod that's built all around. How is it that you don't have a yesod according to Rab? Now don't tell me that according to Rab, you cut off the extra piece.
I was going to say now time for the first jacket.
The key came in a Gaia's law, you can't cut the mizbeach because it says avanim shleimot. Now Tosis points out that there was a shamir in the second base of English, and he proves this. That there was a shamir from the story of the avonim that were going to be brought, remember, from Dana. And you can't use those avonim unless you have the shamir, because there's no way to make the shemos in the avonim unless you use the shamir. In the second base of English, the shamir was still there. And as you know, it's recently been identified by National Geographic. You saw that, remember that? Was it National Geographic? Was it National Geographic? Very strange. They actually found, it was the weirdest thing, they found in the Negev what they thought, they used to think it was a some type of geological phenomena in which there were stones that were scored straight across. And they always thought there was some kind of geologic activity that nobody understood. I mean, it had a name, I forgot the name. And finally, somebody observed that the stone is being scored by this little snail-type thing that actually melts down the stone, right? And they write this whole article, not realizing the shame. They think it's the strangest thing. It doesn't exist anywhere else. So somebody writes a letter, and the next thing, you guys just discovered the shame.
Very interesting. Then
they did a retraction. Yeah, yeah. On the contrary, they were very excited by it.
Source, the one in the famous.
Really?
Source,
oh, wow. Nice. Okay, so in any event, there's nothing to do about it. There's no way to cut out the mizbeach. So what are you going to do? Because if you cut it, then you're not going to have avanim shleimot. Okay, so you know there's a solution here. I mean, you can easily say the mafis mini mitute v'shakelei. Maybe before you pour in the sludge that hardens it to the concrete of the mizbeach, you put a block in it along both sides. I mean, it's not clear. Tosis is bothered by this. What is the point of all of this? In other words, if Lamaika, according to Rav, who's known as, why not make them all Bema Katsila without Yisod? I mean, either answer doesn't make sense. When the guy is like, even if it could be guy, why make it in the first place just to make Tzoros? Like, there seems to be clearly a need to actually take into consideration the Mokum of the Mizbeach, which is the Malbein, the same idea that we use all along, that the Mizbeach is, so to speak, 32 by 32. And now make sure there's no Yisod in it. But it's a very strange idea. It doesn't lead sort of, I don't know what it means.
Would be a problem of Tata Blumenoso yet?
No. So then you take it out, and then you take it out while it's still a little bit, hasn't dried completely, otherwise you'll have a problem, you'll never be able to really get it out. You take it out. Do you look him up? I mean, if you're not going to say this, how do you understand, let's say what Rav Kahana says, that the avanim shel akronot halulot hayu, tichsivu malu'u kimizrach kizaviyot mizbeach. He says you see that the mizbeach itself was like a mizrach of the dam, which means it was hollow. So there was place in there for actual dam that could harden in there. And as Tosis points out, we also have the inyan and the Karen Marovis Dromis, in that corner you had the little holes that went down into the Shittim, and then you had to the Nesachim. I mean, obviously there were tubes that went through the Mizbeach that were left in the in the stone. How is that done? So how are you going to explain that? So Hakanami, Abanim Shlemotom Rachman, I mean, you can't drill a hole in it. So how did you do it? So clearly, Mokas Vinimitsibasharkala. I mean, you must have left something there that was then removed. Okay, so that means that the Bryce is not taking that element into consideration to tell you over those details. It's giving you the basic shape. So okay, so then why not say the same thing, I'll leave it around. The Mokas Vinimitsutay, you leave something there in its place. Basharkala, you remove it, and then you've got them as they are properly shaped. Dorash Rava, Maiga Siva Yevak Davidu Shmuel, Vayeshvu Benayot Beramah. Now what in the world? Nayot is not in the Ramah. Vimaya Nayot, it's a Ramah. I mean the Ramah was the Chelek of Binyamin. So what does it mean? That they were sitting in Nayot in Ramah. Elashayu Yoshvim Beramah. They were sitting in the town of Ramah. The Oskim Binayot, as they were being Osik in the most beautiful thing in the world. And that, or the other way of understanding, B'nayot Sh'olam, the way Rav Kook understands it, is that B'nayot Sh'olam, it's the thing that makes the world beautiful, is the base of English. You have a world that is essentially menuval, having no real significance to its prettiness, and the existence of the base of English uplifts it to become actual noy, it makes it beautiful. The what?
Like a fountain from there, like a fountain out of there, and from above.
No, I'm not sure I know what you mean.
If it was just suddenly placed there, and all of a sudden all of the beauty would start spewing from it to be the fountain of beauty from there.
You know, okay, yeah, it's a nice metaphor. I mean, it's not mukhrat in the Gemara here. But anyway, they were being osik in the Beis HaMikdash. And what they were trying to determine what would be the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. So, I mean, see the kamta valita la makom. I mean, it says in the post you're supposed to be oled to that makom. Now that means that means that the Beis HaMikdash has to be the highest, because wherever you're going from Eretz Yisrael, you have to be alita ala makom. Now how are we going to discover what that is? In Eretz Yisrael, we know we always talk about aliyah. So Eretz Yisrael, I mean, wherever you're coming from, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you're going up. So they didn't know, so where is that place? Because obviously you can't measure it, because it doesn't mean higher, you know, as measured on your barometer. I mean, it is higher in terms of ruchnius. So the Torah has to express where that height is. I mean, how are we going to discover it ourselves? So they went through Sefer Yoshua. I said Sefer Yoshua. And they noted that by all of the Shvatim, you find the words V'yarad HaGvul, or V'yalah HaGvul, or V'tar HaGvul, or, you know, I mean, but there was no clear-cut indication, except by Shevet and Yamin, it never mentions V'yarad HaGvul. It keeps talking about V'yalah HaGvul. So, which means that the Torah is indicating at that point that we view that Aliyah to Shevet and Yamin as only an Aliyah and never a Yerida. V'yarad HaGvul. So Amri, so they say, oh, so Shmamina Akul Mekomo. So apparently, this is the correct makom for the Beis HaMikdash. I guess we're supposed to try to do our best in figuring things out. I don't know, because certainly the rest of it came out called Biksa Miyad Hashem, it says a light. Dafka the makom wasn't given. It's very interesting. So then, they thought, okay, so if that's the case, so let's put it in the highest area of Binyamin, which is Einita, the physically highest. The Madri, I mean, it's harsher if you put it up on top. And then they said, no, actually, Nichte Bekalil, let's put it a little bit lower, which is where it is. Kidetsiv Ubeint Tefav Shachin. Because Lamaisa, a head, is not, the head sits Bein Aksafai. So that there's a Yerida for the neck, and Yaput Savarech is the Savar of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore they recognize that the place to put the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim on the Har HaBayis. Vibayseima, there's another reason, another pshat in why, because they had a Kabbalah that Sanhedrin has to be in the Chelek of Yehuda, whereas the Shechinah has to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. And the Sanhedrin has to be next to the Makom HaShechinah, because it's Min HaMakom. So if that's the case, if they would have gone all the way up to Ein Etam, imadmina le mispalik tuba. There would have been a very long distance between the Mokum of the Shekhinah and the Mokum of Sanhedrin, because this, the Chelek of Yudah ends basically in the Harabayah. So how are they going to get all the way up to Enita? So therefore they decided the place to do it is next to that place, and therefore they said Mutav the Nefse Befurta. Not that they were saying on Bank Tefab Shachem Khatila to say not to make it in Einitam, but they recognized after coming to the conclusion that it requires smichus to the Sanhedrin that they can be saying that, but it's okay to make it, even if it's not the highest part, even though it's the count of the Alisa, that this is okay. The Aldomer Zen Nitzkane Doeg Adomi B'David, and Doeg never forgave David for being the one who was Isaac in the Beis HaMikdash. Because we see that this kikinat betcha achalatani, the kina over the bias eats me up alive. So notice that, that the competition between David and Doeg, it was one thing he couldn't stand, Doeg, is that David was osik in it and was made in the mokum of the Beis HaMikdash. Uchsiv zechor Hashem David is kol anvuto Hashem nishbal Hashem. And what was he nishbal Hashem? He was nishba im avo ba'or beisi imetein shnat le'inai ul'apapai t'numa ad emtza makom la'ashem. So apparently he was nishba that he needed to discover the makom of the Beis HaMikdash to be making it. Hinei shima'anua be'efrata mitza'anua b'steyar. This is on Shir Hamalos. So mitza'anua, what's the relationship be'efrata and steyar? Because Be'efrata refers to Yoshua, the Kasim Ephraim. They had to analyze the Sefer Yoshua. So they found it in Ephrata, in other words, in Yoshua. And Mitzanu, Bisteyar, means Binyamin. Yechsiv, Binyamin, Ze'ev, Yitraf. Wait a minute, it's not that thing in time. I thought it's Lifta they call it. Lifta is any time is forever. I mean, it's always been, I don't know what you're referring to. Well, the right, the left, you know.
But Lifta, you go all the way down, if you get into change. You go Lifta, down.
As when they are, it's near the ground. That's what they claim, but that's what they always identify the Amy down there. It makes sense, you're right. Go down there. All right, gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun. We see you in the morning. That's not a good one for us. The work.